The Home Depot is the nation's largest retailer of wood, and the company says it is making progress in meeting an environmental promise it made 3 years ago to no longer sell timber products from endangered forests. Conservation groups that have dogged the company for years are giving the Home Depot credit for improvement, but say the company still has a way to go. NPR's Robert Smith reports from Seattle.
In 1999, the Home Depot was under siege by environmentalists. A group called the Rainforest Action Network urged a consumer boycott of the company because it sold wood from endangered forests. They picketed outside the big orange stores, and eventually the protesters moved inside. Michael Bruhn was one of them.
We would get on the Home Depot public address system and literally say, "Attention Home Depot shoppers, in aisle 12, you'll find mahogany doors that have been ripped from some of the most pristine rainforests in the world."
The management at Home Depot tried to deny it. But Ron Jarvis, a vice president there, says they quickly realized that they didn't really know where their wood was coming from.
Like all other retailers, we just bought the product from our manufacturers and wholesalers and sold it to our customers without spending a lot of time on understanding the issues surrounding the world's forest.
And so in 1999, the CEO of Home Depot, Arthur Blank, made a bold promise. He pledged that the company would eliminate from their stores any wood from endangered areas, and that they would do it by the end of 2002. Now that it's 2003, Home Depot says it's not quite there, but it's close. Jarvis says they finally tracked the wood from the store back to the stump.
We now know where everything's from. We basically have close to 9,000 different items in the Home Depot that are manufactured from wood, whether it's a wooden handle screwdriver or a fan blade or a piece of plywood. And we have research, and we're actually going to put up on our Home Depot website at the end of January percentages of our purchases by country and region.
They were able to use that knowledge to reduce purchases of hardwood that came from Brazilian rainforests. They shifted much of their cedar purchases from old-growth forests in the Northwest to younger stands of trees. The Home Depot is now selling at least 10% of its wood from forests that have been accredited as sustainable. But Michael Bruhn of the Rainforest Action Network says that means that the promise hasn't been fully kept.
We would call it a work in progress, and we would probably give them an incomplete grade thus far. They've reduced their wood products, and they've reduced their sales of wood coming from endangered forests quite successfully in certain areas, but they haven't yet finished the job.
Specifically, Home Depot still gets a small amount of timber from Southeast Asian countries like Malaysia and Indonesia. Environmental groups say these countries are plagued by clear-cutting and illegal logging. Ron Jarvis of the Home Depot agrees that these countries have problems, but he says they're improving under pressure from the company.
And we realized that if we walked away from that region, then they would stop the process and the quest for sustainability would end whenever our purchase orders stopped coming in.
While there's still that disagreement between environmental groups and the Home Depot, they both agree that the wood retailing industry is starting to change. Home Depot's business rival, Lowe's, adopted a similar forest policy in mid-2000, and wood wholesalers now say that they're willing to meet stricter standards to keep their products in both chains. Robert Smith, NPR News, Seattle.
The Home Depot announced yesterday that it is cutting its earnings per share estimate for fiscal year 2002, which ends in February. It said slow holiday sales were the reason. The country's largest home improvement store chain reports sales declined up to 10% during December, while the company had been expecting a drop of 3-5%. Still, Home Depot says, despite the drop in sales, it does not plan a repeat of last year's January clearance event. The Chinese use names like horse and sheep to classify calendar years. Commentator Kevin Phillips says for Americans, 2002 was the year of the consumer, but 2003 probably won't be.
Until Christmas, high levels of consumer spending pumped up the housing, auto, and retail sectors, which kept the soft economy out of recession. Washington's contribution came through the record string of interest rate cuts by the Federal Reserve Board. Rates were pushed so low that many Americans gained a sizable chunk of income by refinancing their mortgages. With the same low rates, many people who hadn't been able to afford houses decided they now could. Cheap money also helped the automobile companies to give zero-rate financing. Not only were the home building and automobile industries massively stimulated, but the demand for housing pushed up home prices sharply enough to make up for some of the wealth lost in the stock market collapse. All of this involved a sizable component of economic manipulation. The automobiles bought in 2002 won't be bought again in 2003. The refinancing boom is nearly over. The further downside is that consumer and mortgage debt has climbed to record levels. The buying power of many retired Americans has been slashed to the bone by the collapse of the interest they get from bank accounts and certificates of deposit. And most of all, housing prices have inflated so much at metropolitan areas like Boston, New York, Washington, Los Angeles, and San Francisco that market watchers are worried about real estate bubbles starting to pop. All of which raises concern about what kind of spirits will give their name to 2003. Will it be the year of the couch potatoes who watch war and terrorism news on TV rather than shopping? Will it be the year of the skinflints who save to pay down debt? Will it be the year of the oil shortage? And perhaps most important, will it be the year of the burst real estate bubble? That's the kind of year Alan Greenspan fears most.
The comments of Kevin Phillips. His latest book is Wealth and Democracy, A Political History of the American Rich. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montagne.